whiteness. Coming up in 2 weeks on July 15th is the shared lunch at the church center. Come along for good time together and, of course, food. If you would like to be put on the list, please speak with Muriel. She will be by the doors as we exit the church service today. This Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. will be our last training session on youth work. It will be led by Gordon Presbytery's youth work facilitator, Vicki Stigant and Suzanne Bunton. Come along to learn from both of them before we head into Mission Week, which will be the 16th through the 20th of July. During that week, we'll have fun activities like a football cage, a youth cafe, and the bus. Please see your bulletin for more information if that interests you. As always, we are still in need of more volunteers for the Word that will be happening every night of Mission Week. Please talk to Suzanne Bunton if that interests you. For younger children, the week of August 7th through the 9th, we will have a holiday Bible club. Today, there will be registration forms in the back if you would like to sign your kids up for that. As many of you know, we have not had winnowers for the past couple weeks. However, that will be picking up again at the beginning of the autumn. In a similar vein, Monday Bible Discovery Group is now on summer break until the end of August. There will be a notification when the group starts back up again, and as always, members are always welcome. And now we have a further intimation by Fiona.
Good morning. It's an appeal for loaves and fishes. We are losing our shoppers at the end of August, and we're looking for somebody or one or two people or a group of people to maybe be interested in doing some shopping on a Monday morning for loaves and fishes. You're provided with a list of what we need. We can certainly give you training if you need to know how to find your way around Tesco. And if you want any more information, either chat to me or pop up to Loaves and Fishes and I can let you know more information. All right, thank you.
You got a round of applause for that intimation, Fiona.
Crown him with many crowns. Crown him Lord of life. Crown him Lord of love. This is our God. Let us pray. Lord, as we come together to continue to praise you, we are blessed when we come before you in prayer. We are blessed when our delight is in your ways. We are then like a tree planted beside a stream, bearing fruit in season. We are blessed with our beautiful weather, Lord. Thank you. It puts smiles on people's faces. We appreciate the warmth and the light. We are blessed with the world that you have created for us to live in, showing us your glory day by day. Help us to be more careful of it. We are blessed with all that you have given, particularly the gift of your Son Jesus and the sacrifice he made for us. All that we have and are pales into insignificance beside this sacrifice. But still, we bring our monetary gifts to you, and with them ourselves, so that all may be used in your service. Help us to trust in you, Lord, and do good, to dwell in your land and enjoy safe pasture and delight in you. This morning, be still before the Lord. Wait patiently on him and give thanks for whatever is going on in your life, the good, the difficult, the challenging, the sad. Father, when we are tempted to do and indeed have done wrong things through thought, word, deed, we've been disobedient or cruel, remind us of yourself and your sacrifice for us. Forgive us, Lord, and free us to walk humbly with you again. The Lord makes firm the steps of those who delight in him. Though we stumble, we will not fall, for the Lord upholds us with his hand. Help us to keep your law in our hearts, so that our feet don't slip. You, Lord, are our stronghold, and you save us because we take refuge in you. We delight in you, Lord. How can we ever be thankful enough for your being in our lives, walking with us, holding us, comforting us, lifting us up again to stand for you? Thank you, Lord. All hail, Redeemer, hail, as we continue to praise and worship you this morning, and as we join together in the Lord's Prayer, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Invite any children, parents, or anyone who wants to come up front for the children's time to join me here on the steps. Come on down. You can sit on either side. Hi, Joshua. Hi, Samuel. Hi, Daniel. Here comes Becca. There we go. Nice to see you all. How are you doing today? You enjoying the nice weather? Yes. How many more days of school do you have now? Less than a week, right? Well, that's happy news.
I went to school.
You went to school. That's very good.
Hey.
Right. Very good. So you're growing up, Joshua. Yes, indeed. All too quickly for your mommy and daddy, I'm sure. So I heard a chuckle of assent from Martin. So I have some pictures to show you this morning. You can see them on the iPad, or we can show them up on the camera. Let's see here. Technical. Can we get it on camera 4? Is that working? TV isn't available right now. That's how these things work. Let's see, am I connected? Let's see. There we go. Right. Very good. Okay, there we go. Here's one picture. You can see it on the iPad here, but up also on the screen. What's this person doing in this picture? You have an iPad? What's this person doing? Samuel, Danny? Reading, that's right. Do any of you ever like to read or hear stories? Yes, indeed. I enjoy reading as well. Let's see. Next picture. Ooh. What's this person doing? She's very agile. What's that? What does that look like to you in that picture? Oh, yes. Do you agree? Look like some kind of martial art or karate? Does anybody here enjoy martial arts? Yes, indeed. And this is not planned, but I like when things come together. Annabelle, what are you wearing?
A judo medal.
A judo medal. Well, well done indeed for getting that. So you must enjoy martial arts. You like judo? It's good fun, isn't it? I took judo as well. What's this a picture of? What do you think this is? What do you think it is? Any guesses?
Someone playing a video game.
A football video game. Yes, playing video games. You're both spot on. Raise your hand. Do you like playing football video games? Yes. Do you like playing other kinds of video games ever? I know lots and lots of people do indeed. So that's another picture we have. What's this a picture of? A paintbrush. Who here likes to paint as well? You always like to paint? I've seen you decorate some pretty good Easter eggs in the past, so I think maybe you do like to paint. See? All right, good. Very good. Hands down. What's this a picture of?
Bike.
A bike. Who here likes bicycling? You ever ride a bicycle before? Yes, indeed. You like bicycling, Lewis?
Yeah.
There you go, Joshua. That's a bright yellow bike. Yes, indeed. Yes. Reminds me of that song by Queen. What's this a picture of?
Footballer.
Ah, does anybody know who that footballer is? No? I think she's one of the best female football players ever to have played the game. Her name's Mia Hamm. Yes, indeed. She's very, very good. I think she's retired now, but she was very, very good. Let's see, what else do we got here? What's this?
A sum.
A sum. That's an excellent answer. Yes, indeed. You agree? Is it a sum? Who here is good at math? All right. Very good. Yeah, see, not everybody's good at math. Very good, but some of us are. What's this? And don't say it's how the minister cooks tea. Who do you think that is? What's he do for a living? A baker. That's a good guess. Have you heard the word chef before? He's a cook. So he's making something. Looks like it's pretty exciting to make as well. Flames are jumping everywhere. But he looks very calm, doesn't he? So I think he has it under control. So this person knows what he's doing, even though the flames are really high. He's cooking some kind of exciting meal, right? Let's see here. What's this person doing?
Exercising.
Exercising, yeah? You agree? What kind of exercise is this?
Running.
Running. Who here likes to run?
Me.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Who here likes to chase after you? Those two, over there. Sorry, can't help myself. So running is great exercise. So some of us like to run. What's this person doing? A violin. Oh, it's not a violin, but it's another musical instrument. What kind of?
Guitar.
A guitar. Well done indeed. Who here likes to play music? Do you like to sing or play music? Some of you do. Yes, indeed. Music's great fun. Let's see. I think we got one more photo. Ah, yes. What's this person doing? swimming underwater. Yes, indeed. She looked very happy. Yes, I would say so. Who here enjoys swimming? Yes, indeed. Well, you know what? I've shown you all these. These are not just random photos. I've shown you all these. Can close that out. Yep, good. So there's lots of different activities we saw. We saw some people exercising, some people reading, doing sums. And some of us raised our hands that we liked math, others that didn't, others that liked to swim, others didn't. That each and every one of us has special talents, right? We're all good at something. But is everybody, are you good at all of these things? Or there are some things you're not quite as good at as others, right? Some of us are better at football than about cooking, for example, right? And so we've been talking about some words that Jesus said. We've been talking about this present, about gifts from God and blessings and gifts. Let's open the present again and see what's inside. It says, to you from God. What's the present going to be this week? Nothing. Nope, it's another message. So this time it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's what Jesus said. Now, meek is a strange word, isn't it? Meek means to be humble. Anybody guess? What does it mean to be humble? Anybody have a guess? What does it mean to be humble? Any guesses? Do you know what it means to brag? What does it mean to brag? Right, to talk about how great and gifted you are and whatnot. But someone who's humble, who's meek, knows what they're good at, like football or sums, but they also know what they're not good at, because we're all made just a little bit differently. So whether we're good at sports, whether we're good at studying, whether we're good at cooking, we all have gifts to share. But guess what? None of us can be good at everything. So we need other people's gifts as well. So if we're good at sports, we need someone to help us cook. If we're good at cooking, we need someone to help us with our sums as well. We all have something so special to share with others, but we all need help as well. So what it means to be meek, what it means to be humble, is to say, thank you, God, for the gifts that I have, for the talents that I have, but thank you, God, for the gifts and talents that other people have as well, because they're just as special. And that's a great way to live, to give thanks for what we have, to give thanks what others can do for us as well. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for all of the gifts and the talents that you have given to each of us, for the many ways that we can enjoy our lives and bring glory to you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to celebrate the many talents you have given us. Help us to know what others are good at as well. Help us to always remember that you have created us to need each other's help. So help us to be nice boys and girls, to share our talents and our gifts, and to let others help us with their gifts as well. We need each other, Lord, and we need you most of all. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You can go back to your mom's nest now. Just in case you're wondering, I have not bleached my socks. These are stormtroopers on my socks this morning. Yes, there it is. Same thing. Very good. We continue now with our time of worship together with singing our next song of praise. How deep the Father's love for us.
from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, can be found on page 968 of your Bible. Matthew 5, starting at verse 1. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The second reading is taken from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 11. It's found on page 748 of your Bible. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work in your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make them an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." Amen, and thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Helen. We continue to worship our God through the gift of music by singing our next hymn together, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy."
Thank you.
us offer up our sermon time to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we offer up this time to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. 10 short words, but they make up a sentence packed full of significance for how we orient ourselves to God, to the world, and to ourselves. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This sermon asks and answers the question, how do we become disciples of Jesus? The Beatitudes characterize a disciple in 8 short, blessed are statements. Right now, we're in the first half of the Beatitudes, the half that characterizes a disciple's state of being. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The first 4 become the reason or the motivation for the actions described in the last half of the Beatitudes. In effect, it is because we are poor in spirit, because we mourn, because we are meek, and because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we are merciful and pure in heart, that we strive to be peacemakers, and we are singled out for persecution. So our emotions, our states of being, are the wellspring for our actions. Isn't it so true that the people who have lost loved ones, or struggled with illness, or have mourned some other kind of loss, are the same ones that can show mercy to others in similar situations? There is an understanding of another's pain. There is a shared emotion that motivates the mercy that is shown. When we can become people who can internalize the beatitude of poverty of spirit, mournfulness, meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we are also the people who can show mercy, who are examples of purity in heart, who keep the peace, and who stand amidst persecution. Our states of being motivate our actions. Josh talked about one such state of being 2 weeks ago. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Being poor in spirit means our hands are empty, and we are entirely reliant on God. It's a posture of reliance on God. Meekness is very similar to poverty of spirit. In fact, in the original Greek, the words for poor in spirit and for meekness are synonymous. They mean almost the same thing. But the same sense, they draw out different meanings of the same word. If being poor in spirit is a posture of reliance, meekness is a posture of humility. If being poor in spirit is a posture of reliance, meekness is a posture of humility. But today is not just about definitions. Today I feel led to talk more about what do we do with meekness. To do this, I think we should step back and talk about the 2 Beatitudes on either side of today's call for meekness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Mourning recognizes that the world is not as it should be. We mourn over a world that is broken, painful, not right. Walter Storff, a Christian theologian, writes in his book, Lament for a Son, We mourn because we are aching visionaries. We ache for the beatitude that follows after meekness. We ache to be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We yearn for what should be, for what is right, this redeemed world. And we see a glimpse of this redeemed world in this text we read today from Isaiah. In the words of the prophet, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of justice of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In the year of the Lord's favor, justice reigns and mourning is comforted." In Isaiah, we see this radical exchange. God takes what is painful, the things for which we mourn, and he exchanges it for righteousness, for what is redeemed, for the way the world should and will be. So meekness is caught in the middle of this exchange between mourning and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Meekness is the time between the times. Meekness is the time between the times. Meekness then becomes this time between mourning and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Meekness is the time between lamenting over what is not right with the world and the time for yearning what is right. Meekness is for right now. Right now, we must show meekness and become meek ourselves. But how? Meekness sees the world, but more importantly, meekness sees ourselves for exactly who we are. Meekness sees the world as it is. Meekness sees ourselves for who we are. Meekness cries for the injustice of violence and oppression. It sees the carnage inflicted by massacre and the despair of the massacred. But it also recognizes the humanity and brokenness behind those who massacre. Meekness sees the human form behind evil action and mournfully prays for healing. Meekness also sees ourselves for who we are. It strips away the outward appearance. It exposes the real state of the heart. It deconstructs the protective walls around our deepest insecurities and calls us exactly who we are, beloved sinners. We are beloved sinners, people with broken stories, ingrained shame, maybe even a sense of worthlessness. Meekness recognizes and reveals all of this, humbling us before God. But there is also strength in meekness. Meekness recognizes God's greatness in our own weakness. Henri Nouwen, a Dutch theologian and author of countless books on Christian spirituality, has for many years touched people's lives with his gift for writing words of healing out of his own brokenness and weakness. I myself have found in his writings words that seem like a lifeline in the midst of my own pain. And I'm not alone. Nouwen came to recognize his gift of sharing weakness and said, "I have become increasingly aware that true healing takes place through the sharing of weakness. In the sharing of my weakness with others, the real depths of my human brokenness and weakness and sinfulness started to reveal itself to me. not as a source of despair, but as a source of hope. End quote. Admitting our own weakness orients us towards the only source of true hope, Jesus Christ. Meekness rests in the knowledge that our hope lies entirely in Christ, who himself is meek. In Matthew 11:29, a few chapters after our text for today, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and humble of heart." Jesus, the small, meek, slaughtered lamb, conquered the entirety of the world's sin. Jesus himself embodied meekness as the time between the times. For he mourned for the world because it was not as it should be. He was meek, and he lived, and he died in that tension in order to usher in the righteous, redeemed world that will be exactly as it should be. So Jesus, knowing that redemption is coming, is bringing life when he commands these beatitudes, when he commands meekness. So we see the beatitudes as God's way of enabling us to come alive as gospelized people in faithful response to Jesus. Those things that seem like burdens, poverty of spirit, mourning, meekness, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, they are opportunities for coming alive, for leaning into the moment we have been given to acknowledge our own weakness before God. To acknowledge that although this life brings pain, it is through brokenness, through tears, through powerlessness, and through meekness that the character of God's kingdom is revealed. So what does meekness look like today? How do we take part in ushering in the kingdom with humility? In a world where the powerful seem to prosper, how do we lean into the greater truth that God blesses the back row, behind the scenes, barely seen people? Many of you know this last year I had the opportunity to study at Oxford. Before I left for England, I expressed my doubts about being able to meet the expectations and rigor of a school like Oxford. A professor firmly encouraged me that I would be just fine, and I got there and I immediately loved it. The researching, the reading, the writing, the richness and rigor of study. But not everyone did. My roommate struggled academically, disliked the whole Oxford system, and was ill most of the time that we were there. She needed someone to run to the pharmacy, or to make her food, or to calm her down when school wasn't going okay. She made me realize that all the store I put in to my academic success wasn't important if I couldn't practice what I preached. My more important job that term was to care for her. I was just another student in the crowd of students there, but I was called to be the one person who cared for her. I'm certainly not telling this story because I'm a sterling example of meekness, but to show that I'm still wrestling with what meekness looks like today for me. So I invite you into learning with me. I invite you too to wrestle with meekness as the time between the times of mourning and the times of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For it is through meekness that God's kingdom is breaking in, and through meekness that God empowers us to be his disciples. Amen.
Thank you very much, Kylie. Now it's my chance to be meek and not be upset you never clap for my sermons. Thank you for that good word. Thank you. Kylie, well done indeed. As we've heard, meekness is for the time between the times. It is for living as disciples in the here and now. And we have no better example of this meekness than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we sing together in that spirit our next hymn of praise, Meekness and Majesty.
Good morning. It is a joy to worship together. It is a joy to learn together. And it is a joy to pray together. So let us bow our heads in prayer. It is as we worship, Lord, we recognize today again that you are a servant king. You could have reigned in power alone, and yet you chose a life of meekness, of humility, of service, of gentleness. And so, Lord, it is a life that we long to live after. We want to live like you lived. And so just as you bow down in humility to wash our feet, just as you bow down in humility to go to the cross for us, this morning we bow down before you to offer up our lives, our families, our jobs and calls, our hopes, our dreams, and our world to you in prayer. In this world where pomp and circumstance are praised, power and might and strength and put togetherness, we pray for the strength and humility to walk in meekness as Kemnay Parish Church. We pray for strength and humility as Christians and as families together to walk forward in meekness. And just as we ask for strength to do those things, we remember, as Kylie shared, the Beatitudes that went before. Today, we remember those who are mourning. For those who are suffering the loss of a loved one, we give to you in the silence those that we know who are grieving. We give to you the family of Bruce Mackey. We offer up to you the family of Kenny Gill. Bring comfort, Father God, to them and so many more who are mourning. And we recognize in the society that we do not just mourn for those who have physically lost their life, but for those who have lost their health or their mobility, who are changing seasons of life. We give them to you today, perhaps those in hospitals, those who are shut in, who are not able to physically be with us this morning. Perhaps they're watching online. May they feel a part of the family. Be their comfort, Lord. And would you stir in us today if we are to walk forward in meekness and serve them this week? So in the silence, Lord, would you put upon our hearts a face or a name of someone that we are to humbly serve this week? And on this side of the kingdom, Lord, we often feel at the end of our rope, as though we cannot do anything for the difficult situations in our world. And so we turn to you and plead that your kingdom would come to the places where injustice is reigning. For the refugee crisis all across the globe, may your kingdom come. For the inequality and fears at our borders, may your kingdom come. For the deadly presidential election process in Mexico, may your kingdom come. For the chaos in Nigeria, may your kingdom come. And Lord, you know the pleas that are silently in our hearts where we want your way to come, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our businesses, in our own personal life. We ask, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom would come. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder of the blessing of the Beatitudes. Thank you for the reminder for the places where we feel limited, as though we are not enough, as though our pockets are empty, as though we're spiritually bankrupt. We cry out to you, God, and we declare that we need you. So the places where we are broken, we give them to you. The places where we don't feel like we're in right relationship, we give to you. For the loved ones in our lives who do not know you by name, we give to you. And we ask for your kingdom to come. Lord, thank you that we can entrust all of these things that are so important to us in this world and in our lives to you. We thank you that in a place of brokenness, you use us. In a place of meekness, you use us and offer forth blessing and offer forth your kingdom. And so in a spirit of thankfulness that we pray, all of this in your name, as God's children together say, amen, amen. It is good to pray together, but it's also good to give thanks together through song. And so our final song today is a favorite of mine, Beauty for Brokenness. I don't think it matters how many years we've been a Christian. It amazes me that in the places of brokenness, God exchanges that for beauty. So let us declare our thanks to him through song as we sing together in worship.
Have an organ solo as well. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who live in the time that is between the times. Go forth from this place, live into the meekness of Jesus Christ, bear witness to his love and grace in every way, and bring the world back to him. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.
Amen. is when I miss my friend Jim Buchan, because he would have been doing this. Some of you may know, some of you may not, but 10 years ago this week, our dear friend Joshua, our minister, was ordained as a minister of word and sacrament. 10 years, so well done.